Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Rose Bianco. I play Rosa Diaz on Cobra Kai. And I am here talking with Chris at Hellblazer Biz.
Hey, everyone, I have the honor and the privilege and the company, returning company of Rose Bianco. As you've already heard, she plays Rosa Diaz on Cobra Kai, which is now its fourth season. And I'm really privileged. I know we just chatted about this, Rose, but I'm so happy that you're back on my show. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure. It's really an honor to be able to be interviewed and talk about my favorite show, Cobra Kai.
Definitely, I think it's actually
the show. She won't leave.
That's fine. She looked very stubborn, sat there as well, just like my dogs do. I think it's your third time actually, because we spoke one to one, and then you joined the group chat that we had as well.
Yes.
Do you remember that one? That was so much fun, wasn't it? It was like
I met Helen Irving. And she was, I was working that day. I was so busy that day. It was somewhat rude.
I remember. Oh, no, it wasn't rude. It was fine. You still took part. That's more than what we need. But yeah, Helen was on that one. We invited Helen for there, which was lovely. She's a huge fan.
Yes.
Excellent. So obviously we are here to talk about Cobra Kai, it's a phenomenal show anyway. We've spoken all about that world before. But I mean, I think only after 3 days this time. Was it 3 or 4 days, season four, and it was a global number one?
I think it was 3 days.
Yeah, it was really short time, wasn't it?
Number one, yes.
It was absolutely amazing. I'd finished it by Sunday morning. We binge-watched it all on Saturday, me and my wife. Yes. Which is what you're supposed to do.
I mean, I did too. Actually, I watched all of it over Saturday and Sunday. Because as you know, I don't get to watch all of the taping that goes on, and I don't get to read all the scripts. And so it's all like a revelation to me, you know, anyway. And then just the way that it's executed is so, so great.
It is.
You get invested in these characters.
Yeah, you do. Even as a fan, I can imagine, obviously, when you're in the character, you are one of the characters yourself, like you do get invested. But yeah, even as a fan with like some... And you're watching it as a fan as well. You just get so drawn in. And I was going to talk about that later as well, but with season, I'm going to put it on the blurb, but there will be spoilers in this chat because I'm not going to be able to hold my mouth. So if anyone's not seen it all, hold back because I will be ruining some of it. some of the story arcs again. I mean, I saw someone's tweet, I think it was today or yesterday, and he was right. He said, it's every single character. It's their season, this season. It's just like all the characters are built up over three seasons. And season four, it's just like, wham. Everything, from Rose Diaz to Miguel and his mum and Johnny and Danny's family, every single one has just performed impeccably and superbly as cast and actors in this season. It's just, that's what the tweet was pretty much saying. And I agree. It was absolutely beautiful to watch.
They're embodying their characters more and more. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody, in order to get the roles, had to be good actors to begin with. And then it's a process of embodying the role, really. And over a little bit of time, you really do start to go, what would my character do? How would he react to this? Because the directors give us a lot of leeway to react to what is being told in a natural way. And most times they go with it. Sometimes they'll give you a note and say, can you be a little bit more like this or a little bit more like that? You take that note and then you keep going. Mm-hmm. But it's easy to take those notes because we really have a grounding in who the character is.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the camaraderie and that, as you say, the fact you've been able to build up and you really feel in those characters now as well, it just shows through. And it's not just the acting either. It was just say the whole production, everything from the big three's vision again, and the way that the director's coming in and their lighting and the camera and the cinematography, everyone around it, and the stage and stunts that go ahead. It's just choreographed so beautifully well. I just can't sing enough praises, to be honest. I know it sounds sycophantic, but Cobra Kai is like the best show out there. It really is.
I think it was the Los Angeles Times. Mm-hmm. A critic on the Los Angeles Times, no pushover. And this critic is a fan, and you can tell. And she's like, I think Billy Zabka needs to get an Emmy nomination. His performance was incredible, incredibly nuanced. The jokes were on point every time. They gave him so many jokes this year. I work with Billy a lot directly.
Yeah, he did.
Most of the time it's at the house, and he comes over, right? So it's just like, he's a great guy. His wife and kids came over to the set last year, and I got to meet his kid, and they're just, you got to remember, these are just ordinary people. So when I'm in scenes with them, we're doing them as best as we can. We're not even sure if we're actually doing what we're supposed to be doing, or are we funny? I don't know. You can't really worry about that, you know. So watching it later, I'm like, oh, so funny.
Yeah, I guess because you're in the moment, yeah. I mean, are there many outtakes? I've got that down here as well. Any outtakes and bloopers? There must be, because you all have so much fun and you're all such lovely people. I can only imagine the laughter is literally right underneath your mouth, your lips, when you're trying to speak on half things.
Well, I mean, it's you know, when there might be bloopers, like when you go
Billy or what yourself throw a line in that just like cracks everyone up.
I think everybody holds their laughter. It's really what's the word, it's fulfilling when it's like action, you do your scene and then you'll cut and everybody goes everybody's like holding it in the crew. So they're laughing. You know that that's good.
Fantastic. And there was some brilliant comedic moments. And Billy did get those lines, a lot of the lines in there. And I mean, I love that character throughout this series, because it is, for obviously many, many other people, it's just that turn of turning Johnny from the bad guy in the beginning to the good guy. Well, no, he's a good guy. He's a good, really kind-hearted guy. Him and how much him and Danny have got in common. And you just sit there, the whole thing, you know, I've got goosebumps just thinking of
the growth of the character, both characters. Daniel has grown as well. And I think that I love how that one of the aims this season was to have them understand each other's points of view to the best degree that they could.
Two
hard-headed men. Yes.
See, I use when I do training and with the cadets that I teach, I use a beach ball philosophy, which is exactly what these two have done in a way. I have a big beat up, just blow, you know, the beach balls big with all the colors, and I'll stand it in front of me and I'll say, right, imagine the beach ball was the size of the room. You can't see me, I can't see them. I'll say, what colors can you see? And they'll say red, white, and blue. And I'll say, right, I can see green, orange, and purple. Who's right? And they're like, well, we are. And I said, and so am I. I said, what you've got to do is just take the ball out of the equation, stand from the other's perspective, and realize and sometimes see that the other person can be right in what they're thinking. And that's how my training that I do. That's my business side. But it's exactly how Danny and Johnny worked around that, because they, like you say, the defense against the offense, and you can see how that arc worked. And you know, it's sitting in my mind as we're watching them. Why is she saying, come on, just get a click, you know, get that click in, because you can see how it was working and moving on. And then finally it clicked, but Danny was like, actually, he was telling his daughter, he's like, no, use the offense as well. Use it your way.
Right.
And mix it.
And the way that
perfect.
It was the way that Daniel always has this very pure point of view, and whatever that training is, Miyagi-Do,
yeah,
pure, and he just cannot stray from that philosophy. And and so just from the outside, it looks like Johnny's technique is a not as good, you know, it's not as pure, it's not as you know, good-hearted or whatever as the Miyako way. But it's so great to see you need a little of both. You need a little salt and pepper all the time. You really do.
Exactly. You can
be a doormat. I mean, I know that they're not doormats because they're champions, the Miyagi-Do. But but it's really sometimes so great to have seen that, hey, sometimes you need to take this other
evolve.
Yes. It's like people ask me, what is your acting technique? Is it Meisner? Is it Strasberg? Is it Udahagen? Is it, you know, Ivana Chubbuck and all this stuff? And I just go, honestly, when I was in college, it was very outward type acting technique. When I went to acting school, it was definitely Stanislavski. And I've taken improv classes and I've taken singing lessons. I still can't sing, but I've taken singing lessons for vocal, just strength. And then they say, so what is it? What is your technique? And I'm like, I don't know. It's a little of everything that I've learned over the years. I don't know. That's how you proceed. That's how you evolve. That's what makes your maturing process happen. You're taking a little what works for you of everything you've learned.
Yeah, exactly. Because you are a unique, you are an individual, and how you do it doesn't have to be exactly how someone else. You know, it's a philosophy you should have in life. Because if you stick to what one thing only, and you don't learn, and you don't adapt to change, and that's the big thing, you know, in life. Say with your acting, especially with those different techniques, because there are so many, you can adapt to the changing environments of technology, for example, of how it's been brought in, you know, and how you adapt your technique of acting to that. With Cobra Kai, obviously, both Johnny and Danny have got to adapt to that change and realize that to beat Cobra Kai, they will have to adapt their styles in order to do that. It's fantastic. The montages of both of those two learning each other's styles as well. I was crying. We laughed at Andrew. It was just, especially Johnny. It was like sitting there, he came back and he's like, I've done it. There you go. You've missed a bit. It's just, pure brilliance. It really was.
It was. Well, I like all kinds of things. Like when he was being a bully to the pansies and the pansies, you know, it's like, you're a pansy. And it's just so silly. It's just silly, you know, obviously.
It is. I was speaking to a friend of mine, a good friend, and he's just started watching it from season one and watched a few episodes. And he was just like, it's so bad. It's good. I said, but it's not bad. I said, it's not bad. I said, it's the comedy. That's how it's meant to be. Kitsch. It's comedy. It's bringing it back into that. That's what it's. So it's working. He's obviously just using the wrong terminology because he loves it to bits and he can't wait to watch more of it. But his terminology. I said, no, it's not that. That's not the right words. I said, it's designed for you to laugh. It's designed to have that nostalgia for the people who remember that. And obviously for new people, it's a whole brand new thing for them. A lot of the time,
it works for them too. People who were around in the 80s are enjoying it. I found out that my daughter's friend, who is a middle school teacher, I guess told them, oh, I know somebody in that show. Oh, my gosh. So they're all excited. They're like, oh, my God, you know a celebrity. Middle school children. You know, it just is across the board because the 80s kitsch is a real thing. And it's so great. And the music. Woof.
Yeah, phenomenal. I've got to say, I actually walked out of my house. It was last year. I had Hannah Keppel on. You know, Moon.
I love her art this year. Oh, she's so lovely. I think she's from North Carolina or something. She might be in LA now. But if I run into her, I'll just like, Hannah, I loved your performance this year.
It was brilliant. She was on my show. And I actually had one of my neighbors who I very rarely speak to. I've got a small girl. And she stopped me in the street with her friend, and they're very shy when I came at my house to put the rubbish out or the garbage, right? And then they said, "Excuse me," they said, "Excuse me, did you do that show where you talked to Hannah Kerr, you know, to Moon from Cobra Kai?" And I was like, oh, the interview, Hellblazer bit. That's the one. Like, yeah, that's me. Like, oh! And I was like, they said they love her and they love, you know, love the show and love Cobra Kai. They just didn't realize it was me. Then all of a sudden, I've got that little fame of I went back in the house with a huge head. Someone's recognized me.
I love that. I love that.
But like, that's say, really
great. Well, that's a great story. I was going to say, there are characters in this show that are role models and inspirations for a panoply of things, of people, all types of people. Just look up to Samantha. And Peyton is so vulnerable. Her character, Tori, had an incredible year also. I'm honestly, that girl is I believe she is headed towards superstardom. She's so good. So I just love that arc that she had. For whatever reason, Carmen and I and Miguel represent a lot for Latinos who are just loving being represented in such a good, non-stereotypical light.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people just love my character because I'm bringing something that is not super common. There are some tropes that are similar grandma types on some shows, Jane the Virgin. And I can't remember them all, though, One Day at a Time, things like that. But my grandma's a little bit different. And so I'm just kind of doing my thing and how I view this character and what her perspective is, what her motivations are. And so they're all unique. And I'm very happy that some people find value in it.
Oh. Definitely. I mean, Rose is very funny. The lines that she comes out with, it's just, and obviously that, the way you deliver them, it's just when you're, you know, you're reading, coming out in Spanish, then it's all of a sudden you hear it and you're just looking, it dawns on you, creasing up with laughter at some of the quips that she comes back with. You know, it's obviously innuendos and everything. Oh, it's just, she's just brilliant. She is very, like you say, very different type of granny to be playing.
Thank you very much.
Very wise and very wise and sarcastic.
And bottom line, very supportive. I think I convey that I'm here for my family. I'm here for them in any way.
Exactly, definitely. And the love, especially the bedside with Miguel as well when he was back in there. Oh, that was heartbreaking, that moment. It was just that noise, sickening noise on the mat. It was like, we were like, his back's gone again. His back's broken again.
I know.
Yeah, but it's good, crazy. And I say, it's just, like I say, going back to this, it's not just that. We've obviously seen other characters returning as well. I know I'm focused on the character story, right? But another one we know about is Kreese as well, because he's someone who I've hated since 1985, since I first ever watched Karate.
I know, and he got redeemed this year.
He did. Yes. I've already said there'll be spoilers. But yeah, that's the, you can see his arc has been fantastic. I mean, you know, Martin is a brilliant actor anyway. And you see that as well through three. And then with Silver coming back as well, and this arc going, and you see that PTSD, you really start. I mean, I know a lot of Vietnam veterans through what I used to do, and I know what some of them go through, and you're seeing that in Martin's increase, and you're like, now I can see why his life, he's trying to be so hard, and he has to be, because that's how he survives. It's the only way he knows how to survive in life. And he wants that for other people. He doesn't want to see other people have to fail. And you start thinking, oh my God, I actually feel for him, especially at the end, you know, that ending, you're like.
Well, I mean, especially like, because I was glad that he was able to have a moment of reconsidering his own actions.
Yes.
Which is unusual. I had a therapy session once, and I mentioned my mom, who I adore and love beyond belief. Mm-hmm. But I said something about my mom was very stoic, and she said, I don't have time for a nervous breakdown. You know, I don't have any money for. She used to say that all the time. We'd always say, like, Mom, hey, I don't have time for a nervous breakdown. So he said something like that stoicism, that survival mode. And that's why you have to explore that and blah, 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 you know. But the thing about Kreese, potentially Silver, although I think Silver is a little more psychotic for real.
Yeah.
But he probably is in survival mode all his life from probably the PTSD and never having explored it or examined it or discussed it with anybody really, because that's soft.
Yeah.
And I understand. I've had a little bit of counseling sessions over my life. I don't believe in it a lot, but sometimes I'm told it's the thing to do. So I've gone and it's been helpful. So
You're right. There's, especially for someone of that character, like you say, that of portraying, I say, that age and male figure in that age as well, because like you say, they don't always want to talk. And that's a big thing at the moment.
That generation, that was definitely not, they were like,
keep it quiet and don't speak about it. And you can see that coming through. And with Silver,
I think he is a genuine social.
The looks that he could give on that show, when some of the looks he was giving, and you're right, exactly. There's no other way to put it. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And even in the actual championship as well, you saw that with the way you say, you know, where you had certain redemptions going on, but you saw Silver's face and there were things that decisions he was making, and you could see Kreese in the background, and I was thinking, he's not going to like this, you know, like, again, I said the spoilers, but, you know, opening multiple versions and stuff, you could see Kreese in the background. I have not been consulted. And that's how it looks like, you know, and it's like, right, because I think Silver is very, very clever in the character. I think that's where he's highly intelligent with his, and a highly intelligent sociopath. And that's,
he's kind of like Dexter or Ted Bundy in that he's got a very civilized veneer. I wrote this on Twitter.
Hannibal.
He has a great veneer of civility, urbaneness, intelligence. You know, he can play the game. He could probably, if he cut his hair and chose to, he could probably go into New York and be a stockbroker, you know, this sort of thing. But because he's so extra intelligent, that makes him more dangerous, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Because he's going to find everything he can, which is why the end, very end one was like, sitting shock horror, my jaw dropped to the ground at the very last scene at the graveyard as well. I was like, yes, because if anyone can do it, I was like, I'm not going to say that bit. I was just like, wow. There's spoilers everywhere. I was like, this is going to have like asterisks everywhere saying spoilers throughout.
I think we've been pretty good trying to
avoid
it a little bit.
And contain them. So yeah, it was very good altogether. I mean, since we've last spoken as well, there's other things that you've been part of too. I mean, you're not just part of the Cobra Kai world, you're now part of Marvel as well. I mean, you did have roles in WandaVision, part, in a couple of Mrs. Jones, was it Mrs. Jones?
Oh, good heavens.
I can't remember, but you're in one somewhere, because it makes you part of Marvel now, though.
Yes, it does, because it wasn't a throwaway role. It was a very small role, but it was a very funny role. So it stood out. So, I mean, and honestly, when that came out, that was a big hoopla among everybody. Everybody watches Marvel, apparently. So that also, I just got emails and texts, and Instagram messages like, Rose, so that was definitely fun and worthwhile doing. I don't care too much about being part of the Marvel Universe. My role is much too small to be significantly part of the Marvel Universe.
Mm.
I don't think they're bringing it back. So, but that's okay. I was also on Doom Patrol. I had a good role in Doom Patrol, which also has kind of a cult following and, you know, like the convention type following. Mm-hmm. And that was, I loved being on WandaVision. I got to see the set. It's like a Dick Van Dyke set for real. They had
was it? WandaVision is one I've not actually seen yet, which is quite shocking. I've not got around to it.
It's shocking.
it's crazy.
It's good, but I will say this, because I was not that big of a Marvel fan, although I do like Captain America and Iron Man and Civil War, Captain America Civil War, the one about the big guy who did like that.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm not hugely into it.
Oh, like,
yeah. I liked Sebastian Stan and he was like the bad guy in one of those movies. And then So I do get it. So what was I saying? So I watched the first episode, the black and white episode of WandaVision. And I literally was like, good heavens, Marvel must have good fans to watch this and keep watching. But then by the second episode, it just like really picked up. You know, it was just all laying the groundwork in the first episode. And then it just went like that from there. It was very fun to be there by the time I got there.
Brilliant. See, that's why I've got to watch it, because we watched the first one and my wife can be very picky about what she sees, and when she watched that, she couldn't get into it, so I've had to turn it off, and obviously other things have come on since then, so I've got to get back to it again so we can carry on with it carry on watching.
Yeah, do tell her that it definitely gets more interesting, and it was very hugely successful. And then
I love those characters as well, and the actors there too.
Well, I love what's her name? Oh, gosh. She played like the bad guy who sang a song at the end. It was Agatha all along. She played Agatha. Anyway, she's a very famous actress. But she was wonderful, wonderful. Mm-hmm. And of course, Elizabeth Olsen. I adore Elizabeth Olsen. That's why I just kept giving it a chance. I'm like, oh, I love her so much.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Then there was the other one with Hawkeye. Well, the one in between with Anthony. Oh gosh, I'm showing my ignorance. the one with the new Captain America and Sebastian Stan. Because
Anthony Mackie. Yeah,
Anthony Mackie. And then I saw the other one, Hawkeye, who I have friends who play LARPers in there, and we're all jumping up and down like, that was so amazing.
Yeah, so, Hawkeye was brilliant.
Drahos, he's a great LARPer. And Robert Walker Brancho was a great LARPer. Atta Timpo was a great LARPer. They're all Atlanta actors. They're very excited about being in that. Okay,
oh, brilliant.
We will move on. So
yeah,
in Doom Patrol, Diane Guerrero was amazing. I want to be her mother some other show. And she's like, I get into these things where I want to play Rosario Dawson's mother. No, Diane Guerrero's mother. She was so great. That was very impressive.
Cool. The Tomorrow War as well, because I did see that one. That was in the film.
Oh, right. I did work on that for a couple of months and was one of the soldiers. But I did have a speaking scene, but they cut it because that happens.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you can do all your work and they'll get rid of it. Say we put edit in the editing room, isn't it?
I know. Well, there's so much. They did like half the scene. It was like a scene where people were talking about where they came from, what their purpose was in being here. And all that. So there were like maybe four or five people talking, starting with Chris Pratt and then Sam Richardson and then me and then this Mary Lynn and I think somebody else. But they decided, oh, that scene is way too long. So they just cut it to just Chris Pratt and Sam Richardson. And then
that's great.
Moving on. Alas, what can I say? But I did enjoy it. I love killing an Indian.
That's a great thing, is that it doesn't matter, even though you've done it, you've got the work going there, and you still have that, you know, the experience and learning each time, and you know, the different types of things to go. I can't speak now, I've lost my words, right? You know what I mean? But you get the experiences of all of the different sets and the different actors to work with, and it's just work. And, you know, it's for someone where it's your passion, it's not a job. It's a, what's the word? A vocation. Yeah. Where that's what you're called to do. Then I guess, you know, as long when you're working in there, it's that fun and that atmosphere that you thrive as well. Obviously being on screen type of work at the end of it is great rather than being on the editing floor, but you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all important because, excuse me, my legs are falling asleep. How's that? Okay.
That's okay.
Of course, if they had kept the scene in, it might have been better because then I'd have something else for my reel. because we have to have a reel, and I have segments of Cobra Kai and, you know, various shows that I've been in on my reel, and casting directors look at that. And of course, that's all you have to. I was sad that I didn't have something really good for my reel. But just having that experience and having that on my resume and having met the producers and having met Chris Pratt and a lot of other wonderful actors on that show. The experience is good, not just in terms of experience of having fun, of learning new things, of pushing myself to the limit, because that was very hard for a little old me to be running with a rifle, you know, all this running that I had to do. And heavens, Betsy, that was a strain. and so that was very good, a good working experience to do that. And I learned a little bit about gun safety. And believe me, the gun safety is a huge thing. And, you know, I'm about to talk about that gun accident that a few months ago. That just is so unheard of that would have happened.
I feel so sorry for him. I really do.
I do too. It's just insane. But so I did learn a lot. I got to meet Chris Pratt and be with him on the set all the time. He's very funny. He's very kind. Like, we had scenes with hundreds of extras for hours. And he would just, like, make jokes at the top of his lungs. He'd be making jokes, dirty jokes. And the extras, entertaining the extras. I kid you not. Just like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
A very nice guy. Watched the Seahawks game. It was like a Seahawks football game, and in between takes, he'd like run and go, "Oh my god!" And then all the men were like, "Oh, yeah!" So it was all very, very interesting.
Cool, excellent.
Yeah, I do like to act all different kinds of roles, like Helen mentioned in Twitter, and she said,
"I was about to mention that one as well." She said, "Obviously, you know, from Yaya to a nun to a gunslinger or mafia boss." And that's what, you know, I mean, I saw the question and then I saw your answer. I was like, no, you've answered it. I can't ask you.
Oh, okay.
No, I was kidding. I was joking. Yeah, so obviously, you know, she does ask that, obviously, the different roles that you've had, and have you tried to study for the roles or pure improvisation? And obviously, she's thanking you again for being a great role model. So, you know, you did briefly go into it on Twitter as well, where you study for each role and learn and sort of find the background.
Yes. Each audition. Auditions are, actors are told this, and a lot of actors, especially at the beginning of their careers, and even at the end of their careers, auditions can be horrible. But I'm not proving myself with these auditions because I'm not super famous. And so now all of a sudden I'm not having to, you know, they're like, they deign to ask me to audition for this. You know, I'm not there. I audition for all my roles. And I do have fun with them. And I have to learn different accents. I have to do like an Austin, Texas accent last week. And for a Mexican lady who was a Mexican American from Austin, Texas.
Okay.
You know, that was something that I had to really work hard on because accents don't come that easily to me. Speaking Spanish is easier, and speaking Spanish with various different Spanish accents, it is a challenge, but they're easier than speaking in English and having to do all these different accents.
Yeah.
So I just love exploring it and learning it and figuring it out and figuring out this character's motivations, what's going on in the scene, and all those things. There, it's like acting class over and over and over. So I do enjoy.
Fantastic. It's lovely to hear that. I mean, I love language. I love accents and dialects. I mean, I lived in Germany, studied German. And I remember because we all came back from university, we all went to different parts of Germany to live for a year. And we went there, obviously not realizing, I was thinking accents and dialects, but there was 13 of us and we all came back. And we sat in the class, you know, in the lecture room, and we all had to talk to each other in German, and none of us could understand each other because we basically picked up all the, you know, it's really, really fast. I mean, I'll just quickly say, I mean, German for I don't know is ich weiß nicht. That's the standard German. But where I lived, it was weiß ich nicht. And it's, you know, and that's what I picked up.
And so the regional dialects.
Really different.
All right, I need to stop this. I'm going to decline that. I apologize.
That's all right. No. So yeah, the regional dialects have completely turned things around. It was kind of, in German, that's kind of like Yoda speak, the way I speak. It's like how Yoda would speak. They throw the verbs and stuff around. And other people were doing that from different areas as well, from where they'd been. So you have to, you know, I love being able to learn those accents and dialects and try and pick them up myself. So it must be hard. So there's no way I can mimic them. So as an actor, going into those roles, like you say, being able to having to be the skill to be able to learn and pick up those accents.
Well, I mean, some people are more skilled than others. Okay, let's say just something that you can probably relate to, and many of your, you know, viewers. I'm from the United States. You are from, I guess, England, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I can understand most English shows because I watch a lot. I have BritBox. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of British shows. But I will say that like New Zealand movies or mm-hmm. Scottish movies, like I have to read the subtitles for a while until I can understand what they're saying. Yeah. So yeah. I don't ever do that.
Yeah, there's I could say from some. I live in Wales, so it's the same for some of the Welsh as well. Because I'm English, but I've lived in Wales most of my life. But Scotland, yeah. I can say the same for Scotland as well, because there are some extremely where they speak very from, especially in Glasgow, and that's a very, very, you know, they're lovely people. I'm not, you know, they're great people. But the dialect is so strong, and even I have difficulty. You know, we have difficulty, not just me over here, doing that same thing. And sometimes we'll have to look at subtitles
too. That's funny.
Robert Carlyle, especially when he does his full strength Scottish accent.
Oh, by the way, one of my favorite movies is it's that drug movie with
Trainspotting.
Trainspotting. It's one of my favorite movies. My words also disappear in the middle of sentences all the time, but I love Trainspotting, and they're all Scottish, I guess, because they're all you know. And now, though, I've seen that movie probably 4 or 5 times, and I know everything that's happening, and I understand everything that they're saying, you know, just from hearing it.
Yeah, but yeah, they're very, very broad Scottish in that movie. But it's great. I mean, I'm looking at the time, so I'm going to have to draw it to close, Tony. You've got a busy day as well. So is there anything, before I stop the recording, Rose, because it's been amazing talking to you again, is there anything you'd like to say to people who are watching or listening to this now?
Oh, Lordy. Thank you for watching. Thank you for watching Cobra Kai and being Cobra Kai fans. It's really appreciated by the cast. And for me, it's done wonders for my career. And the more well-known cast, they're just really appreciated. It's just, it feels good. And the creators are, over the moon that they have this concept and they had to push to get this concept made. And they're so creative. Those guys, their shows are so creative. So if it wasn't for fans watching the show and loving it, of course they wouldn't be as successful as they are, but they are as successful as they are because they can bring some quality, awesome stuff for the fans to watch. So that's that. And also, it was a pleasure to speak to you, Chris. You're such a delightful person. Thank you so much for asking me to do this.